This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, hello. Everyone. Welcome back to TBI. Carl Donnelly here.
Julian Dean.
This is a new episode, slightly delayed, with a comedian podcaster.
But a technical error in our production team. Three people have been fired.
We're joined by Michael Legg, and we're sort of, basically for the second time, we were joined by Michael Legg a few days ago, but there was an issue with the recording. And we don't have it anymore. you could say Julian didn't press record, or you could say there was a technical error.
I could say that. I mean, we're not blaming it. You know what I mean?
No, we're not blaming anyone. It's fine.
We share the responsibility. Yeah.
Even though, your messages to me on WhatsApp sounded like a man who'd killed someone in a hit and run and needed a friend.
Here you are. Can we have a chat?
It was really funny, man. And the moment I saw those messages, I knew what was happening. But it's fine. Michael was he took it very well. He found it very amusing. So we got him back very quickly. Did a re-record.
Quick turnaround, mate. Solution focused.
Talked about totally different things. That one was just lost into the ether, you know. But enjoy this one. Admin, thanks to everyone who listens. Thanks to all our patrons who've signed up. patreon.com/wearetvi.
Thank you, new patrons.
Discord, if you want to chat with there's patron threads on there for chat, and there's just normal.
I actually went straight on Discord when I realised I hadn't recorded it.
You've not been on Discord the whole time. I've been like, oh, get on it, mate. It's good fun. Everyone's just chatting about stuff. You're like, the moment there's a problem, you're on there. Just like, help.
You know what? I did try to go on there, but you know, it sends you an auth code.
Yeah.
It just took about 2 days, and I've had like 3 hours kip. I can't even.
That's fine.
Think. But authorization—that's a word, isn't it? And it just took out, so I couldn't get on it. But then I got on it, yeah. And yeah.
It's nice. Everyone's having a laugh on there, chatting about stuff, recommending stuff.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good fun. So basically sign up to the Discord, you'll get exclusives like when we forget to press record.
Carl doesn't know.
Yeah. Basically, Julian's on there just telling secrets behind my back. Sign up now.
Behind Carl's back on the forum.
Anyway, but that's it. That's all the admin done. Kick back and listen to us.
Relax.
Having a nice chat with Michael.
Enjoy. Is that verbal permission?
I'm recording. Yeah, I've recorded, and mine says recording in the top left-hand corner. I've got
I'm recording
it.
As well. And Michael, you can record.
Okay. I am recording.
We're all recording. Welcome back to TVI.
Some of the listeners record as well, please.
Yeah. Basically, welcome back. We're joined by returning guest, Michael Legg.
Regular guest.
Two in a week, mate. You're the only guest to ever do it.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Here's the thing. I don't know what the next hour is going to be like, but I do know that hour that... Julian very much wanted to keep for himself, and I don't blame him.
Got on a secret file.
Yeah. It was so good that this is, I feel we're already in the shadow of that hour we spent together.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be good. But
it's like the second album, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. this is of the Stone Roses, not of anything good or anything. Yeah, it's,
Oasis' second album was arguably better, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue deeply though, because it doesn't matter.
We'll have a heated argument.
No. Can we sure have it.
Turning into us fisty cuffs.
Basically, if we quickly explain it for anyone who doesn't follow us on social media. We recorded an episode on Thursday, was it? And basically, as I was in quarantine, and the Wi-Fi was bad, I was on my phone, so Julian had the reins.
I had one job.
Yeah, literally one job, and that was to press record on Zoom. And Julian did not do that. So we basically just had a Skype chat with Michael Legg.
It was lovely.
It was lovely.
Me.
We had a lovely catch up.
Yeah, it was really, really nice.
Yeah. I mean, we won't talk about any of these things again, but we talked about, we asked you where you were on 9/11. We talked about a bunch of stuff.
I absolutely cleared any guilt that you thought I might have had.
You finally put to bed the rumours.
Yeah.
But you're not going to do that.
The word on the street.
Yeah, sure.
Just fake news,
sort of,
guys.
That dark cloud that's sort of hung over you for 20 years almost. But anyway, so we're back. This time we've all hit record. We've taken full responsibility off Julian. He's not allowed it anymore.
Technically, I could put this podcast out before you did. If I got my shit together
absolutely.
At the end of this,
I could change the name, all sorts of horrible shit as well. You could do whatever you want with this recording. We could give you full rights.
Just you constantly saying 9/11.
Conspiracy, 9/11 conspiracy.
Yeah. Can I quickly tell you what happened as well? Because after we finished recording, it was nighttime for me. Obviously, it was bedtime. I got into bed straight away. And then I woke up maybe 6 hours later and I saw a series of messages from Julian. None of them said what he'd done. Right, what they all said. The first one said, I could tell. And the moment I saw them, I was like, he didn't record it. I know it. Because the first one said, are you still up? Julian's never messaged me saying, are you still up? That's not
slipping in your DM.
Yeah, exactly. That's not what you said. And then there was like, the second one was, are you around for a quick chat? And I was like, mate, come on, just tell me you've not recorded it, right? And the third one was very similar.
You're around for a quick chat. It's a really serious thing to say.
I could tell the panic came through a WhatsApp message. I think I made it bigger than it was, though.
Like, I was really, like...
Anyway, but then, and also I then checked our Discord channel where our listeners and patrons and stuff discuss stuff and spotted that Julian had gone on and told them before he'd told me. So,
all right. It was definitely 2 days after we recorded that he told me.
It
was quite a wait.
The next day as well, I saw Michael's tweet about it. And I'm like, and I knew then, but I retweeted it. It's good PR.
Sure.
I just.
Oh, God.
But the Discord forum had some good advice. They said, just pretend it was released. We'll all talk about it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Yeah. I mean, we're all sort of living in a make-believe world at the moment anyway, so why not just add a few more things into the pile.
So that's what happened. Everyone's up to speed. It's lost in the ether. I checked every iCloud place it could. I might Same have head. Accidentally recorded it, even though that is impossible, as if that happened. But
the only thing that was left was a 5-second clip of me saying, I have recorded it. I hit record. And then said that.
Unbelievable.
The one thing you recorded was you saying the one thing you didn't do.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. A lie. But anyway, we're back. I am now not in quarantine. I'm out of quarantine. I'm in Melbourne at my in-laws. So welcome back, Michael Legg. And also, it does sort of work out better because I have now actual internet connection and a microphone rather than my phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the...
Well, this it was a good move I did.
It was, yeah. You're welcome. It was for the best. What have you been up to since we last saw you, Michael Legg?
Well, you see, I don't really want to go over the hilarious subjects that we went over last time, but one of them is looming large, I'm afraid. If you remember, listeners, you might remember this from last time. If you happen to be walking past any of our houses and you overheard. you might remember that I very much consider myself the lord of Deliveroo. I still feel the shock of paying 30 quid for 6 donuts. That shock isn't justified because I got someone to bring me donuts. So whatever price that is, then you have to pay it because you're a fucking idiot. That
it's worth 300 quid, isn't it?
Donuts being brought to you. So yeah. So but now I don't know how mad you've gone during lockdown, but I've gone quite mad. And at the weekend, what I do is, and you may want to wrap up the podcast in a minute. What I like to do. I'm not like you, Carl. I don't go to a foreign country. I like to pretend I'm in a foreign country. No. That's what I do. This weekend, for instance, I'm in Italy. That's not really a foreign country. They're still quite local.
I think you realise how badly travelled Julian is. He does think that it's a foreign country.
And then complains to Thompson. Well, that bloody brothel wasn't very good. I'm in Italy this week, which means I'm only eating Italian food.
Right.
And I've got wine in. That's Italian, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Because, we'll get to it now. I sometimes can't tell the difference between France and Italy. I get the two of them confused. I do it all the time.
Right.
I don't know why. Sometimes I think, like I sometimes think Paris is in Italy.
I mean, that's...
I don't know why I have... It's not. It's not even a little bit in Italy. I get the two countries confused. And that's why yesterday I went, do you know what? It's Italy weekend. I'm going to treat myself to some nice Chardonnay. Right. So
treat myself to a nice old bag of baguettes. And a,
yeah, exactly.
And nice a string of garlic.
Yeah. So like an idiot, I've got Chardonnay in for Italy weekend. And by the way, it's Australian Chardonnay, just to show incredibly how stupid
I'm not
I am.
I'm not a wine lover, but I do like a New World... And like a nice crisp New World white wine.
Sure. Me too. But yesterday I was listening to opera all day. It's quite a disappointing...
I didn't know Oprah was Italian. Is she Italian? Yeah,
there we go. And that's topical. That's what I like about that.
That is true.
Is it on today? Is that?
I think
correct?
It's on today, yeah.
What, Oprah and the Royals?
Oprah and ex-Royals.
The betrayers of our great nation.
Keep out of the limelight, they left it, didn't they?
Just get two new members. That's what bands do. Replace them.
Just get another
couple
of pedos.
It's funny if they started to do that. Like
a couple of new pedos.
Like the Sugar Babes, where they end up being a whole new family within 2 years.
Can I just ask about this Italy weekend, right?
Sure.
So this is something. Have you been doing this throughout lockdown?
No, I'd say maybe for the last 4 weekends, I've been to foreign countries for the weekend.
What other countries have you been to?
The first one I went to Spain, first of all.
Of course.
I guess the second, actually, come to think of it, it's only been 3 weekends. And the second weekend, I didn't go to a foreign country. I went to a rock festival. So I... Yeah, I exactly.
Ketamine.
Yeah, I just overcharged for everything.
Ordered
in my
a portaloo for your garden.
Yeah, I shat in the garden and I had a terrible time. You know, so it was just like a proper festival where I made like really, you know, like high quality shit food, like chocolate chili and stuff like that. You know. Spain.
The Spain one, like tapas and stuff like that.
You're right. And it was good. It's good. Spain's lovely at this time of year if you get the chance. And if you don't get the chance, make it up in your mad head. But here's the thing: it's very disappointing using Amazon Music. I've never used Amazon Music before, but it's it's become part of my going away weekend. Wow. And because I've got, you know, one of those Echo
Alexas.
Right.
Yeah, Echo. Yeah. And it's
my Alexa just piped up.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's right in my living room. So therefore, you know, I can, you know, say play music, blah, blah. It's just handy. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But it's quite disappointing because it is very, it's a very populist sort of form of getting your music. So if you say, hey, play some indie, they'll play Coldplay. It's like,
right. Because I don't have any of these speak to the thing and it does it things.
Right. Yeah.
That's probably why. So I don't know what they're called.
Why?
Yeah, a butler.
I thought you were married.
Yeah. But I but I didn't know you could just say play some indie. I thought you had to be specific and ask it to play something.
You can be specific and you can be very general. Last night I said no one would trust a speaker
to pick the correct
song. You could say play porn sounds and it would.
Oh, I mean, I guess, but that is quite specific to be honest.
I suppose.
Yeah. Just say the word.
So I've heard.
Is that not on anyway?
Julian's head 24 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. but you know what I mean? Like last night, I'm going to be classy. I'll have opera on.
Yeah.
And I said, Alexa, which is probably going to wake yours up now. Alexa, play some Pavarotti. And the first track Alexa played was a duet between Pavarotti,
Alexa
and Mariah Carey.
Oh,
I mean, that's
come on.
Disappointing.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You'd think.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's not good.
They don't complement one another.
And
I'm telling you now.
Because that doesn't make sense to me for the algorithm. Because surely you'd think it would just play it safe, go for the most popular song of that artist, which is Ness and Dorma.
It doesn't just go for Ness and Dorma. It goes for 40 versions of Ness and Dorma. Because once I figured out, I went, this is that When a Hero Comes Along song with Mariah Carey that somehow goes, hero comes along. That's happening. But, well, I've heard enough of that. It's appalling. Next song, Ness and Dorma. More like it. Next song after that, Ness and Dorma. Not as good as the first one. Third one, Ness and Dorma. I'm starting to have panic attacks about a fucking World Cup that I never watched.
I was going to say, at which point would the neighbours think, I think he's dead. He's killed himself. And this is some weird sort of decision he made just before the end. I'm going to put that on repeat and do myself in.
It's a very dramatic, suicide. He's putting on some opera and he's just ending it all. Yeah, no, I don't think they would mind. I see Michael's being dramatic again.
Do you get on with your neighbours?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah, are you in a WhatsApp group of your neighbours?
No, I'm in an email group, which I'll be honest with you, I'm very much read only.
Yeah.
I don't really contribute. Okay, here's something I can tell you about our street. And it's really, really good. I don't know. I mean, I live in Lewisham. Lewisham is quite a tough part of London. Drugs, gangs. And very much, my street is very much part of the drugs and gang culture.
Yeah.
In as much as someone left an abandoned fridge in our street. I live in a little cul-de-sac. There's only about 20 houses. And everyone's going, I can't believe someone's just left a fridge in our street. And everyone got very upset about the fridge in the street. And then one night, one of the neighbours, about 1 a.m, for no reason, just decided to look out her bedroom window. And that's when she saw someone walk down the street, this little cul-de-sac, she got to the fridge, opened the fridge door, put something inside the... Right? helped himself, he had the munchies. Put something in the fridge, closed the fridge door, picked up the fridge and put it downwards so that the door was on the ground.
What?
And then walked away.
That is...
Then half an hour later, a totally different person comes along, picks up the fridge, opens it up and takes something out.
What?
And this went on for weeks.
Really?
Everyone really got into it. Everyone was like, okay, it's about one. Are we all out? No one wanted to stop it happening because it was so mad.
Yeah, well, once the person walked away, like,
there's
no one ran down.
There's no fridge episode of The Wire.
What if you, you found like little love letters and it was just a beautiful romance story?
I mean, that that would be really, really nice. Eventually, a neighbor did look inside the fridge during the day, just see if there's anything like in there that we could probably, you know, that we should be aware of. And she looked in it. One of my other neighbors said to her, should we really be doing this? And then my neighbor, who is a lawyer, just went, oh, yes, he said. And she's been, you know, you trust lawyers, right? Everyone trusts a lawyer.
Yeah, they're very
and
honest,
she knows what she's doing. And my other neighbor's going, well, I hope there's nothing horrible in there. And she meant drugs.
Yeah.
And then my neighbor, who's a lawyer, just goes, yeah, I know what you mean, because my mum found a fridge in an alley behind her house once, and there was a pair of legs in it.
Oh, oi, 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 oi.
Right, right. So.
Someone's skipping leg day.
Right. So got to keep them. I mean, if you're going to cut your legs off, keep them fresh. That's what I said. And anyway, she opens it, and it was just full of rotting food. So weirdly, God, these people are putting their drugs in amongst like? Rotting right? food. I was delicious, vegan, so yeah. I didn't mind.
Spanish result.
There must be easier ways to pass drugs between two people than lifting a fridge up every time.
And it's so
it's a terrible technique. Is what I'm
stupid.
Saying. Yeah.
It's really stupid.
In a cul-de-sac where all the houses are aimed at the fridge.
Imagine you run your daily, like you've got a couple of bags of skunk. You went, yeah. Just go to Lewisham, down this cul-de-sac. There's an upturned fridge. It's quite heavy.
The drug fridge has been used for, I'd say, like nearly a year, and it's only just disappeared. Like this really? Week, just vanished. Yeah.
That is, yeah.
Some other drug gang heard about the fridge. We'll go, we're taking the fucking fridge. These bloody rival fridge drug gangs.
You've lived in Lewisham for years, haven't you?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, Steve Gribbin lives there as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, Steve Gribbin lives here. I mean, you can't blame him for this fridge drug nonsense.
Oh, I was just
if that's the road you were going down.
We're working it out.
No, trust me.
Post-it notes on the wall, Gribbin.
Sure,
yeah.
Just picture
a
Gribbin in the middle, just there.
Yeah, nothing else.
An August picture cut out of a fridge.
He does live around here. There used to be quite a lot of comedians down here, but you know, like the circuit itself, you know, you never see them anymore.
I know Lewisham very well. So you don't know it from like 20 years ago, no? You weren't there then, were you?
Yeah, I was here 20 years ago. Yeah. Mm.
Do you remember the little play park inside the shopping centre?
No.
That might have been more than 20 years ago, actually.
But then I have no reason to even know that there's a play park in a
I was just testing center.
I don't know. Yeah.
What do you mean a play park inside a shopping centre?
It's a really cool... It was a really... In Lewisham's shopping centre. I was actually in Lewisham Police Station for a whole day.
Imagine. Is this because she kept looking at the kids' play area?
She just misunderstood.
That's why he was asking about it. He needs an alibi.
Yeah.
A witness for me? You know,
what do you mean? A kids' play park?
Yeah, like in the shopping center, it had like I always remember the camel. It's just stuff to climb on.
Okay.
Camel, right. Hippo.
Do you know where
it's
got amazing kids like climbing frames? Is inside Qatar Airport in Doha in Qatar. They've got like these massive, like sort of 30-foot high slides
like
in an airport.
Area.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's like it looked like it was made of like cast iron because the health and safety regulations are slightly more lax in the Middle East, as we all know. I think Southeast London has got quite a good caliber of shit shopping centres. Like, do you know?
I mean, Lewisham
used to be the main one though when I was a kid. That was
Catford,
the one we'd
the
go.
One at Catford with the big cat outside.
Yeah,
like, that's horrible.
Yeah, so like, I mean, in terms of West London way, like South West London hasn't really got many shit ones. West London, that one at Hammersmith is dog shit. Have you ever been to there?
No,
it's crap. Like, you know,
the station is in
Yeah.
Oh, you're there. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that, does that count as a shopping centre? I guess it does.
It does. And there's just another one over the road that's even just equally as dog shit. Like, it's a
that's
weird...
more like a commuter place, though, isn't it? Like a Pret, stuff like that.
Yeah, but there's other crap shops.
Here's what I have to chip in here and defend the Catford Centre here for a moment. Although I do think it is shit, so it's not a great defence. Don't have me as your lawyer, is what I'm saying. But it's got an art house cinema, which of course is meaningless right now. But I would go to the art house cinema to be artsy fartsy because I'm an artsy fartsy kind of guy. But then afterwards, on my own, I have to add, I would go to the pub next door for a pint because the pub was so terrifying. I felt that I could get more of a buzz from that one pint of just sitting there being scared for, 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that, you know, I felt if I've had a pint and I get out of here without being thumped, that's up there with, like, you know, bungee jumping.
I love things like that. I used to be drawn to things like that. I used to go to the audience in Woolwich and there was always a fight. 100% of the time. The bouncer nutted someone once and it was just so fun.
In Tooting Broadway, where I
dangerous,
grew up, there used to be like, there was a run of pubs where basically the rough pubs, and if people got barred from one, then they're drinking the next one. And it all ended at one pub, but it was like the sort of, it was almost impossible to get barred from it. Like somebody hit me over the back of a pool cue once and didn't even get asked to leave. Like,
I've got that as well. I've got a little scar on the top of my head from a pool cue.
Yeah, they didn't even get asked to leave the pub. It was just like a sort of, just totally just laughed off. Like,
Aaron, come on, leave it out.
And Jack Beards, which was the one before that, was my mate once set a fire extinguisher off in one of our faces for a laugh. Just pissed. Thought, I'm going to set a fire extinguisher off in someone's face. I'll do it on one of my friends. And it was one of them CO2, like powder ones. The whole pub basically was fumigated, again, didn't even get asked to leave. They were like,
I did that in college, and got expelled for setting a fire.
As you probably should, you know what I mean? My mate set off in a pub, everyone just carried on drinking like nothing had happened.
I used to go to Old Kent Road, like when I was like 17 or whatever. I went into, and I was on the dance floor, obviously, you know what I mean, dancing, and there was a guy dancing next to me, and a pint glass comes sailing and just spanked him straight in his face.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Do you know the worst? I mean, no, hang on. Not the worst. The best pub fight I've ever seen was actually in Edinburgh during the festival. It was me and Colin Holt. We were in a bar, and it was ram-packed, and it was loud. And it was probably about 2 or 3 in the morning. Me and Colin Holt, who Colin is a comedian and, you know, and an actor and really brilliant. Neither of us, I think it's fair to say, are very good at fighting. But we get our pints and we stand in the only available space in this entire bar, which is a corner. And we are sort of like stuck in this corner. There are people like inches away from us. And there we are, just stuck in the corner, drinking a pint. And a fight breaks out between these two guys. And they're really properly thumping each other in the face. Their fists are flying, but their fists are like maybe 4 inches away from our faces.
It does make you wince, doesn't it? Like,
it's really,
you can hear the slap of a punch.
Oh, it's so horrible.
Does slap. It's a slapping sound.
Yeah.
People think like it's like a Western film where it's like,
yeah.
And it's not at all. It sounds like you've just been slapped in the face.
Well, it's what it is. It's pounding meat. That's what it is. But there we are. And we have not had a discussion. This has gone off too quickly for Colin and I to have a plan. But I think we both know we're going to get hit because there's nowhere for us to go. So we just see fists flying and we just prepare. It's one of those moments where
I remember
just
saying, like, you just got stuck in. You just smashed the glass, turned to Colin and said, make it count, mate. And just got in.
Your key in your hand. Got windmilling in. Yeah.
Colin, it's time to get into character again. Right.
He does a karate character, doesn't he? Used to.
Well, he didn't that night, I can tell you that.
He did a person getting punched in the face character.
Yeah, he was doing that character really well. we're about to get punched. The fists are flying and we just prepared ourselves. And the very second that I thought, this is it, I'm going to get punched, that is when Hunter from Gladiators just turned up out of nowhere, grabbed one, threw them out the fucking door, grabbed another and slammed him to the floor. We're like, what the fuck just happened? Are you ready for this? Hunter turned to us and just went, Jaeger bombs?
No.
Damn fucking right, Jaeger bombs.
That is excellent.
What a hero. Oh,
I am. What year was that? I remember the year that Hunter from Gladiators was in Edinburgh.
It was about could have been 2011. I think,
for some reason, I remember him just. It was that one of them things where, you know, there's been years when there's been like famous actors, like Hollywood actors knocking around. But I remember the excitement of hearing.
Was rocking around, weren't
she? Who was that?
J.K. Rowling.
Oh, she's always, yeah. But I mean, I remember like. I remember, what's his name? Was it Ashton Kutcher or one of them was in the Loft Bar once? Right. But like, I remember the year that Hunter was there. That was like, it was like such a big thing. I saw Hunter. Do you know Hunter from Gladiators in town?
Yeah.
It's fucking mad, isn't it? That's the sort of the nostalgia we had a Jaeger, we have.
Yeah. We had a Jaeger bomb with him. And then, and he said, I saw you two in a show. Because Colin and I were in a musical together that year in Edinburgh. And he'd been to see the musical. So we were sort of like, this is all planned out really well for us. And when we're on a high from being, let's face it, rescued by Hunter.
Saved.
And then he gave us Jaeger bombs. Then he just ruined it all by going, I'm going to play at the moment with Abby Titmus. I'll get you free tickets.
That's why he was in town. Do you know why I now remember this whole event? Yeah. It's because... a good friend of mine almost had sex with Abby Titmus. Like, it was...
Almost.
Well, almost. It was a late night. They left together. It was on, and then it was a last minute.
No. Sort
of. But no, it was a last minute sort of like...
I met her a few times in Edinburgh.
Mm. She was very nice. I remember I did a chat show with her. Like, we both guested. We didn't do a month show together. Me and Abby Titmus did the old Carl and Abby show. But what a great year that was.
Yeah,
she was lovely.
Classic times. Yeah sure. I don't think I want to see her in a play, though.
With Christian Slater, Michael, no?
No, I didn't. No. Christian Slater did a play. That's right. Yeah, he did. He did.
I thought you, Phil Nichol, and someone else did a show with an actor. Like, it was for famous actors. Is that not right?
I think you're mixing it. I've done a show with Robin Ince. Is
maybe
he a
I'm
famous
mixing
actor?
You up with Robert De Niro again.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah.
You, Robin Ince, and Jean-Claude Van Damme did that show together. Yeah. why is that? That every year in Edinburgh, there's always someone that you sort of look at and go, why are you here? Do you know what I mean? There's always that some weird actor doing something.
The vibe, right? Fucking hell.
But I'm like that. I'm like that with the audience, though. Why the fuck are you here?
Yeah. And 95% of comedians. But
Joffrey was there last time I was there from Game of Thrones, bowling around, wasn't he?
Has he given up acting? Is he the one that just decided he just was done with it and thought he'd go back to uni and do stuff? I love it when an actor just goes, this is bollocks. It's like when comedians quit. I've got a lot of respect for good comedians that just go, this is nonsense. What am I doing with my life? Like, do you remember Lee Bannard? Great comedian.
Yeah, he was good.
Just quit. Just was like, what am I talking? He goes, he had a job he quite liked. And he just was sick of driving his Ford Puma that many miles. And I remember he was just like, I'm quitting. And I remember I did his last ever gig with him. And it was brilliant comedian. But I really respected the fact that he just went, I'm done with this. All these arseholes. I'm out.
Yeah. I gigged with, I don't know if you remember, Jamie Matheson. Do you know him?
Stand up name.
I gigged with him on his last gig, and it was one of those, like, he clearly hated being a stand up. He was a good stand up, but he hated being a stand up.
Yeah.
And at his last gig, at the very end of the set, which, you know, went perfectly fine and all that stuff, he just went, well, thanks everyone. I'm just going to go now. Before I do, do you mind if I do something a bit self indulgent? And he takes his watch off. You know, that stand-up comedian's watch. You know, that watch that all
the little Argus one, the vibrator.
Yeah, the ones that vibrated. He put it on the ground, got a hammer, and smashed the fuck out of it. Yeah. Wow. I know, every part of me was going, I hope whatever you do goes really well, because that watch will need mending.
It'd be funny if he came back in a few weeks.
Yeah,
he's on the short or forums going, anyone got an old one of them watches?
Set 6 minutes for gonna start doing the open mic circuit.
But he ended up being, you know, writing films and he's written a few episodes of Doctor Who, you know, so he's done all right.
He's done
fair enough.
He's done all right. Let's not worry about old Jamie.
What would you do on your last gig if you decided to bin it off? I'd do the same. I'd get my watch off, then get a hammer out, and I'll just kill myself. Just by repeatedly smashing my own head in.
Take your watch off, put it on the floor, and just smash the hammer into your face.
Yeah, because you don't want to get blood on those watches.
Exactly. I want somebody to be like, make sure somebody gets the watch after in working order.
Sure.
I'd be interested to know if I don't. I genuinely don't think I'd tell them.
You couldn't just do your set.
I'd find it impossible to do my set knowing in my head that this is the last time I'm ever doing it.
Yeah, because I think you'd sort of end up skiving, wouldn't you?
Well, because you sort of do
it. Like, it's the last one.
The last day of Edinburgh, you never do your show.
Just try
to
say different, don't say anything for 5 minutes in your set, or just something like
just die hard for your last ever gig.
Die as hard as you can. Use that 20 minutes. Nothing. Just stand there.
Yeah, have you ever? I don't not so much. I don't think anymore. But you used to host a lot, Michael. I remember. But you must have seen. So I've seen open spots do gigs that I think that's got to be their last one. I don't think they're ever coming back from that. Do you know when you see an open spot die so hard? And it's just like, that's a killer of their career.
Yeah. I can tell you about an open spot I did see, and I thought, I didn't think they're going to go nowhere. I didn't think that. I just thought, ha, 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 what a fucking stupid fucking idiot. And this...
That'd be so funny if that's the only thing they heard in the room.
Just when they walk off stage and you walk back on, that's what you're saying.
What a fucking idiot. It was at the Birmingham Glee, right? I introduced this open spot on. He goes on. He does really well. I'm off to the side of the stage going, fuck me, he's really, really fucking good. And really properly funny. And then he wraps up his set. And he can't find the way off the stage.
Oh,
and
it was
just really embarrassing and clumsy.
Absolute killer. Like,
and it was Ramesh Ranganathan.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've said it on here before, but I think one of the harshest heckles I've ever seen to an open spot, and they weren't, I'm not going to name them because they're not an open spot. I mean, they're not really a circuit comic. But then they knock around and they've sort of been around for years, but they did a 10 at the... Do you know when you see one of those comics that is sort of... They do other things and that, but they're not really circuity. And then they do like a 10 at the store or the Glee and you're just like, oh, this is not going to go well. this person, it was a lovely night, Birmingham Glee. Everyone's smashing the shit out of it. And then this person went on and was just not happening. Like, it was really tepid. You're getting the odd titter here and there, but like the noticeable difference between how it sounded when they were on stage to the rest of the show was so vast. And it was a case of us all at the back of the room going like, fuck, this is really dragging, that he needs to probably just wrap it up quick time. And he didn't, and he just kept going. It got to about 9 minutes, and then you just heard somebody, and this killed the set. It was the end of the set. Because I just lost it. Somebody just went, oh, fucking hell, mate, you are boring. Like that. It was just like, oh, shit. Like, it was like they didn't shout it. They just said
it's
it.
Honest and from the heart, isn't
just
it?
Just said it at like proper That's, conversation just... volume. And then he then tried to sort of dig him out and win it.
Oh, don't.
He's literally, that person spoke for the room. And it was just like, that's game over, mate. You're just leave. Go on.
I remember introducing an open spot at Jonglers Camden, and this is definitely, it is, you know, there are rookie mistakes, and then there are rookie fuck ups that will haunt you. I have not seen this comedian since. It's not Romish this time. I have not seen this comedian since. I can't quite remember his name, but his name was something like Andrew Paul. Do you know what I mean? It was like first names. And it was his time. So I was up on the stage just going, ladies and gentlemen, it's Paul Andrew. So I got the two names mixed up, right? He walks on stage, just goes, I'm not Paul fucking Andrew, fucking idiot. I'm Andrew Paul. Jesus Christ. And are you ready for this? One guy in the audience just went, no, we want to see Paul Andrew. And then other go, where's Paul Andrew? And everyone's going, fuck off, bring Paul Andrew on.
Oh, man.
That serves him right.
Serves him right. Right. But also, he's now forever. He's thinking you're for what you did to him.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, exactly. He absolutely, when he got said, you fucking ruined that for me. No, I don't think I did.
You've got to just, really, I mean, the amount of times that my name's been said wrong, you just got to laugh it off and make a joke. Like, it's not like, is it Joe Boar? Joe Boar's got the best, isn't it? Joe Boar, because his name is 2 one-syllable names. Like, just if somebody's going to get it wrong, it's quite an easy one just to have a guess to make the sounds. You know, when the comp editor starts, like, give it up for, like, you know.
Yeah,
You can just sort of do it over the noise and just hope that the act doesn't notice. But Joe Boar heard a compere clearly forget his name and introduced him as Dim Bar, which is like just sort of the sound of a name. I mean,
Dim Bar.
Do you know my favourite ever open spot? The most heroic open spot death I've ever seen was, and he won't mind me saying this, but it was Luke McQueen.
Oh, good.
Right? When he was, I'd just started comparing for Jonglers, and I was comparing Jonglers Battersea, and Luke was doing a 5-minute open spot, and I was at the back of the room. I introduced him, went to the back of the room with Julia, who used to book it, and Graham, the sound guy, who now does the sound at the store. And, Luke McQueen went on to do 5 minutes, and he ended up doing 28 minutes. That's the first thing I'll tell you. He died for maybe 24 over the 28. Like, he basically just nosedived and wouldn't come off stage. He was getting lit. Graham was going mad. And then it got to the point where every sort of 5 or 7 or 8, whatever minutes of death, he would do something about how bad he was doing that got a really big laugh.
Yeah.
The audience were like, got into this idea that it's really funny to watch this person just drive this gig into the ground and flat out refuse to leave. And like, it just carried on and on. At about 20 minutes, he just stood there. He looked so sad. And he just went, oh, God. God, guys, look, does anyone want to start a band? And at that point, me and Julia and Graham were just crying, laughing at the back at just how funny this was. And then he got people up on stage, and just, you know, there was no way of starting a band. There was no instruments. Oh, so he just had people on stage talking about what they were going to do. And he ended up, he did like 28 minutes, came off. And it was such a funny death that what he'd committed to. There was no anger about it. Like, I just walked on and sort of said, give it up for Luke McQueen there doing his 5-minute open spot. Massive laugh, round of applause. Like, the audience loved it in the end for how.
Yeah.
It was so funny. It was a real.
Really die well. Like, some acts die well, don't they? Like, Luke, obviously.
Which is weird. Like, you think you'd have learnt by now. All your practice, mate. You should be one of the best in the business.
I just try and recover it, but keep in what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean? Just try relentlessly go at it. But
I can either die quite gracefully and just sort of suck it up and just, you know, wrap up early and just walk away, or I can really drive it into the ground.
Tony Law always dies quite well, doesn't he? Like, when I've seen him, like, Tony struggle.
Law.
Like, he'll just go hard. Whatever they don't like, he'll do more of that. And it'll just be louder and more surreal.
Tom Wrigglesworth, one of the best dyers in the business. Like in the couple of times it's ever happened when I've sort of witnessed it, he will take that ship down with him, mate. Like properly, you know, he doesn't give a fuck who's on after him and what the fact they've got to do a gig. He's gonna sink that ship.
For a very long time, if I saw Paul Foote, he was so funny when he died.
I bet he died well as well.
Yeah, he died really well. But it'd be disappointing if he didn't die. Be like, oh, that's a shame. He was just really funny.
He just went with it,
Yeah, but when he died, it was just glorious. Absolutely beautiful, I'd say.
I saw Kitson once struggling. It was like up the creek, like on a Sunday, but it was like really, like, everyone was just really tired. And he just wouldn't let go of it. People were leaving, so he jumped off stage and he followed them to the door. And like, it was just, it was funny. It was really good to watch. But I was so tired. Yeah. I was like, come on.
I didn't. When I was quite new, I became resident host of the 99 Club Wheatsheaf in Oxford Circus. Ooh. And Paul Foote was the resident headliner. And I mean, I was really new. And it basically where I learned how to compare. Like, it was a weekly Saturday night gig. And it was weird for about 4 months at one point. They basically had me, Joe Wilkinson, and Paul Foote just as residents every single Saturday. That was the show.
Wow. Now,
obviously, it was built not around a returning customer idea. And it was amazing. It was that thing of watching. I got to watch Paul Foote week in, week out. And it was totally, you know, 1 week he would totally take the room to pieces and like people would just fall in love with this eccentric lunatic. And there was times when it was tourists going, why are we in a pub attic with this man? Like, you know, it was amazing. Joe Wilkinson was just, you know, Joe was one of the funniest people when you're a new act together because
incredible.
I've never known a comedian hate. Like, he hated everything about being a comedian. I've never known anyone be so happy when a gig gets cancelled, when you're that new at comedy, when you're desperate for stage.
Oh, I don't know.
I always still love that, yeah.
Not when you're an open spot, surely. Now, if they get a last-minute cancellation.
I was always so nervous. Like, it would be the relief would be bigger than the disappointment. It was nice.
One of the greatest moments in my glittering comedy career. And I think if everything was to end tomorrow, and I mean the world, I would like to think this would be my last memory because it was probably as happy as I'm ever going to be as a comedian. And I had 12 dates booked in I think it was Cambridge. And it was for Christmas. And it was 400 quid a gig. And this is 10 years ago, right? 400 quid a gig for 10 nights, 10, 12 nights, I think it was. And I'm totally relying now on this month of gigs because, you know, it's 400 quid a night. And on the day of my first run, the promoter rings me up and just goes, "Hey, Michael Lixon, I've got some bad news for you. We're going to have to pull all but one of those gigs." And I'm like, right. So the anger is starting to rise, I want to hear the explanation first. I'm like, I've made a big mistake because I was doing two shows a night and there's not really enough audience even really for one show a night. So I've had to... There were supposed to be two compares and, you know, the rest of the acts, you know, sort of like there was the same bill if on both gigs. And I'm like, right. I'm like, so what about the other compare? Why wouldn't I like do six and that compare does six? Well, I just spoke to him about it and it turns out tomorrow night he actually can't do it anyway. So I thought, well, you just do that one and then he can do the other 11. And I was like, right. And he went, I mean, obviously, tomorrow night, I'll pay you cash for all 12.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, yeah, fine. And he went, no, I know. Yeah, it's disappointing for me, too. Like, no, it's not disappointing in the slightest. It is.
Oh,
I don't think I've ever been as happy in my life.
That is.
Yeah. I mean, when he gave me that money and I was on a train on the way back, I was basically stuffing that cash into my pants. I just was in
this is making it rain on the train.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, those moments. Weirdly, just before you joined the Zoom, me and Julian were talking about corporate gigs, like about how I didn't do it wasn't a corporate. This morning on Zoom, I did a private birthday party. I did a gig at someone's birthday party, and it was on Zoom.
Dressed as a clown.
It was 6 years old. It was a terrible gig. Basically, it was it was nighttime Saturday night in London, morning in Melbourne, and but we were talking about corporates and stuff. And basically, I remember my favourite ever corporate moment was I did one that I was really nervous about, and they had to cancel it. Well, not basically what happened is, do you remember? I think it was like the Beast from the East, one of them storms that happened that shut everything down.
Sure.
So, yeah. And it was a couple of weeks before the date, and they basically made the decision. They were like, look, we can't really ask our staff to come to this because there was people traveling from different offices just out of town. Mm. So they're like, so what we're going to do is we're going to have to delay it, like, you know, for a month or so. And I was like, in my head, I was like, it's absolutely fine. It gives me another month to not stress about it and just leave it in the diary. I'm still doing it. And then they went, oh, we'll pay you half a fee for the cancellation. So I got, and it was a good corporate fee. Right. So I got paid half the fee to not do it, but then the full fee to do it a month later. And it was just like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why didn't they start with, are you okay to move the date? That wasn't even like a question raised. They went straight in for, right, can we move it to next month and we'll pay you half for this? Like, if they'd have left off the bit about paying me the half, they would have saved themselves a lot of money.
Yeah, well, no, this is exactly what I thought about my, you know, I was actually giving him a chance to go, you know, you can give me six gigs and give the other compere six gigs.
Yeah.
And I mean, I haven't thought about it too deeply because I'll be honest with you, it was so beautiful and moving. It was so moving that when, you know, at the end of that one, and I'll be honest with you, terrible gig.
Yeah.
For him to hand me that money in one go.
Unbelievable.
It is beautiful, like that.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know the flip side of that? I think the most disappointing moments in comedy are when, and it doesn't happen so much anymore, when you sort of stop doing the sorts of gigs it would happen to, but... Mm. Do you remember the feeling of going getting to a gig that is utter dog shit looking, and there's four people in the audience, and they say, "Oh, we think we're gonna have to pull it," and you've already made your I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna eat some food, I'm gonna watch this thing, and then like two people walk in, it takes it up to six, and the promoter goes, "Oh, we might as well," and you're just like, you're sat there just thinking I've already made so many plans for tonight now in my head,
yeah.
I've got it all planned out. And suddenly you've got to go on to six people.
Your brain is already on a train.
Absolutely.
On the way. Exactly. And you can't shift back into gig mode. You just can't do it.
Yeah, so you go on with this total disdain for the fact that you've got to do a gig.
Mm. Yeah, the worst thing that you can do to a small audience is be upset with them because they're the ones who have come. Yeah. It's everyone else you should be angry at.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. That is meaningless when you're there because they're cunts. Yeah. Those six decent people are cunts.
Absolute cunts.
They're fucking vermin. And you know what? If I saw them trying to get into our British shores, I'd have them shot in their boats. Now, please don't edit that to make it sound badly. I am talking about comedy audiences. Yes. That's all I'm talking about.
Okay. I think we should wrap it up shortly, mainly for the fact that I'm getting really tired. I had to get up at 6 a.m. to do this gig because it was basically I had to do it at 7:30 a.m. Melbourne time for 8:30 in the UK. So I've been up
since
6.
What time is it there now?
Now it's 7 minutes to 11 p.m. So I've been up for a lot of hours.
You
went swimming in the sea.
I did. I went in the sea today, which is I wasn't going to say it because I don't want people to feel jealous, but.
Rest of us are here in lockdown,
sitting in our own
gallivanting
shit.
Around the world.
Yeah, I mean, that Michael's in Italy this weekend.
Yeah, I've got a bloody lasagna in the oven right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Where are you going to go next weekend? What's your country of choice? Have you thought about going sort of off-piste a bit and going Eastern Europe or something?
I've already got a plan. I'm going to Northern Ireland. That means I'm basically speaking to my family, but cooking a load of really greasy food as well.
Oh, and yeah. What would be the drink of choice for Northern Ireland?
I probably will have some Guinness just for the... Oh, I'll definitely have Bushmills whiskey.
Right.
Because Bushmills whiskey is beautiful. And I'll probably listen to some flute band music and berate myself for being Catholic.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably a good plan.
Yeah.
I've got to go to it. I think, I don't know if I mentioned it on the lost recording, but I made a promise to somebody that I would go to church and pray for them. And it was a guy who checked me and my wife and daughter onto our flight in London, because basically there was a mistake on the tickets and it looked like we weren't going to get on the plane. And it was all like, it was devastating. We genuinely thought, we'd already had a flight cancelled, we'd been diverted, everything. And suddenly it was like, this is fucked, it's not happening now. And then this guy called Amit just decided to just take it upon himself to sort it. So he was on the phone to for 45 minutes he was on phone calls sorting our journey out, and he was amazing. But it was also quite he kept dropping in some Jesus references when he was talking to us.
Sure.
And then basically at the end I was like, mate, I can't thank you enough. And he just went, I want you to pray for me. I want you to go to, just promise me you'll go to a church and pray for me. So just now,
said, fuck off.
Yeah, after all that, I go, fuck off, you god botherer. Just get on my flight.
You're a fucking weirdo.
Formal complaint. Your staff's trying to evangelize.
Gotta push religion on you.
I can't wait for you to go to that church, pray. Jesus will appear in front of you going, listen, I don't even know that guy.
Yeah. Guy, mate, that guy
he mentions me to everyone, honestly.
So I've got a date with Melbourne Cathedral in a couple of days. I'm going to go up.
That'd be nice.
Say a couple of prayers for him, and then off I go. It's nice.
Do you did you grow up in a churchy sort of environment?
Catholic, yeah, Irish Catholic, but
okay.
My dad never really gave a shit. You know, he really sort of phoned it in. Mm. My mum was
Protestant, we call that.
Yeah. But my mum was, and is still into it. She's a real Catholic. She used to go, sometimes she'd go to Mass every morning. But I was, they were very chilled about it. At about the age of 11, they sort of said, you don't have to come to Mass with us anymore if you don't want. You can do your own thing. So I was never, it was never too pushed on me. But when I was very young, I had to go to Mass. And then I was at Catholic school until I was 18. So we used to have Mass at school. So yeah, I was...
Yeah, yeah.
But I do like, I really like it. I like them. I really like churches. So I normally go to Melbourne Cathedral when I'm in town. Just like if I'm walking past, I'll pop in for 10 minutes and have a little sit down.
Well, when I go home to Northern Ireland, I do go to Mass because, you know what? My mum sings in the choir. So I'm not going to diss her at her own gig. I'm going to go along, support, you know.
Yeah. Nice. It's not, I think there's something nice about... I don't know. Yeah, even like if you're not a prayer, you know, there's something nice about just sitting there and having a nice, quiet think in a religious.
I like
building.
A church. I like a little pray, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's in my local church in my hometown, the one that you know, the church I will go to. What's nice about going there and having a little moment to oneself is that one of the pews, my grandfather carved his name into it, like something like 1931 or something like that, I think the year is. Well, it's amazing just to see Owen Dorian, 1931. Went,
wow,
you were a little prick, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, how old would he have been when he did it? Like, what was he a kid?
Probably like, probably 15, something like that.
Wow. Yeah. You'd think they'd have sanded it and given it a lick of varnish since then.
Well, I mean, there's apparently there's a list of people who want pews from this church should the pews ever go, and my family have her name down for this one pew because my you know my grandfather vandalized it. So it's ours.
Before we wrap up, we should probably do a quick debrief of and what do we reckon, what was the better one of the two, the one that's lost or this one?
There was a lot less donut talk.
Less donuts, maybe that's no 9/11. I think I think this one was a bit lighter. Although I don't know.
What's a bit lighter?
I don't know if we said the C word on the other one.
No.
Did we say it on this one?
There's a couple. I said one. Yeah. Michael said one.
Yeah.
Cunt.
There we go.
We've got the full set.
The Holy Trinity of cunt.
Yeah, I think this one was better, personally.
I mean, it wasn't, but I mean, you can edit me out saying that. I mean, the other one was fucking amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Your goal.
Yeah. There was a car chase in the last one. Incredible.
A sex scene. We all knocked one out at the end, just on camera. They were both lovely. But this one is available, so it works better as a podcast.
let's not count.
Right. People can listen to, you've got a new podcast out. Remember the admin we did last time? It was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's some good admin last time.
It was
time.
Great. This time, I think we'll keep it'll be slicker. We really got a bit bogged down in it last time. What's your new podcast called?
I have got a new podcast. It's a comedy panel show podcast that I do with Dan Mersch and Paul Litchfield, and it's called Famous for 15 Quid. And basically, we slag off celebrities who go on the celebrity greetings websites, such as Cameo and stuff like that. That's basically what we do. We belittle people who are just trying to earn a little bit of money during a time when it's difficult. Yeah. That's what we do.
Love it. Excellent.
Yeah.
So people can find that online and they can find you on all the social medias.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm on them.
Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to our patrons. Thanks to everyone who signed up to Discord, who found out about the lost episode before I did because I was asleep. So that's it. That's the end of the podcast. Thanks, Michael, for joining us. It's been really fun.
Hey, lots of fun again, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. We'll see
you. I think you're in the alleyway.